Welcome back to Tuesday's 9 till noon show. Garda Grania will be joining us shortly with the latest appeals and information from Angora Síochána. So just going back to the retirement age for school bus drivers and Bus Éireann's official comments in relation to that. They say the retirement age for school bus drivers has been set by Bus Éireann at 70 years of age, which also applies to road passenger services. Our decision to operate the scheme with drivers up to age 70 is grounded in the best safety interests of our customers, including young children, our drivers and other road users. So they're very clear that they believe it's less safe for people who are 70 and over to drive school buses. Our operating experience, together with our ongoing consultation with stakeholders, including Road Safety Authority and other public transport operators in relation to safety first, is that our current policy balances the overarching need for safety with the risk and the operational needs of the services provided. And this is where it gets a little bit more interesting. In acting in the best interests of the safe operation of the school transport scheme, we've also received a number of external studies which show the risk of collision is increased for drivers of large vehicles over the age of 70. So, as I say, they're not pussyfooting around here. They're saying the quiet bit out loud. They are of the view, and they're listening to external studies that show the risk of collision is increased for drivers of large vehicles aged over 70. I would love to see where that research was from, where it was conducted, etc. But that is their view. That's why they stop people driving school buses at the age of 70 and over. Yet, these very same drivers, as we heard earlier on, can pick up the same children and take them to a football match or take them swimming or wherever. But as I say, Bus Éireann believe they're doing it on safety grounds. 086 60 25,000 if you wish to get involved in that conversation. Heather Honey in Carn Donagh, www.donaghabees.com. We have a telephone number for you here. Anyway, that's sorted. Good morning, Donaghy Bees. Heather Honey is stocked in the health shop, Carn Donagh, if that helps. Listen, of course it helps. Thank you so much for that. When I'm reading Heather Honey, I've got in my head Heather Humphreys because I'm going to that next. The dip for Palestine was on in Downing's on Saturday, so it would definitely have affected the crowd at the Pride Parade in Letterkenny. I heard no mention of it on Highland. We can't mention everything. We're only mentioning things that we're asked to mention. You know, if people want to do public events like that there, why would it or might it be mentioned on Highland unless we were made aware of it? McCullough says, I have a Nissan Qashqai, lovely car. My car key got damaged by water. The insurance company doesn't cover damage. I rang Nissan and they don't cover it either. The car dealership won't stand over it either. The car came with one key. The key is going to cost me $350 to replace. What's the point in paying insurance if it doesn't cover you? Can anyone give any advice? I really don't want to have to pay €350. This is accidental damage, if you know what I mean. Like, I can take out insurance on my telly, but if I drop it off the wall, it's kind of my fault. I don't mean that harshly, by the way. I mean, would you really want your insurance to cover it? A 350 car key, your excess of your insurance is probably actually more than €350. You know, whilst it might not affect your no-claims bonus if you've got step-back protection, it will still be a claim against your insurance when you go and claim insurance or price insurance elsewhere. So, I don't know. I think you might have to. I certainly don't see how it could be the responsibility of the dealership or Nissan for that matter, because you damaged the key. I wouldn't be inclined myself, even if I could, to claim for it back off insurance. It's a big hit, €350. But unfortunately, I don't really see a good off-ramp for you on that one. Morning, Greg. Of course, politicians are entitled to their own private lives, but sometimes you have to read the room and ask yourself, is this a good idea, given the fact that he's in the press for all the wrong reasons, with yet another empty promise from him? This is in relation to Simon Harris going to an Oasis concert. I was curious what you thought. Read the domestic abuse figures. They must be higher than stated, as they do not reflect parental alienation cases nor false allegations of abuse. They don't include them. These are all call-outs for domestic abuse, and if you were citing parental alienation as domestic abuse, I presume that would be counted, would it not? False allegations of abuse, I'm not saying they don't happen, but I'm not sure if it's the same texter who maybe was the victim of false allegations of abuse. I get the position you might find yourself in and others, and it needs to be stamped out. And if there are false allegations, the people responsible for making those allegations need to be dealt with. But chucking it in every time in a conversation where there are thousands of men and women who are getting beat up, or their lives are being controlled, or their money's being restricted, putting it in there every time. Whilst I understand it's an issue, every time I read it out and it comes in almost every time, it feels to me like it's reducing the significance of the big, big problem of domestic abuse that we have. False allegations of abuse, I'm not sure how prevalent they are. They do happen. They need to be dealt with, but it doesn't in any way, for me, take away from the major problem. But anyway, reading on, so objectively, they not only miss these real cases of abuse, but some of the callers use domestic abuse allegations to remove the ex-partner from the home or from lives of their children. Ireland needs a united zero-tolerance policy on all abuse and not the divisive, unrepresentative, ineffectual, gendered one it has at present. Now, again, if a couple have broken up and they're in the same house, and it could be either man or woman, or the man and man, depending on the makeup of the house. You know, if someone's in a house and things are tense, there are certain things within the under the umbrella of domestic abuse that might fall into. It's not always necessarily, violence. A caller says, I donate to the local charity shop, but I also put bags into clothes banks, and that's clothes that I don't want resold. Once they are in the clothes bank, I really don't care where they go. Yeah, okay, I get you, and I'm probably the same. I don't like the idea of them going into a hole in Africa somewhere, personally, and I don't like the idea of them ending up being burnt in Germany when I can't burn coal, but I get where you're coming from too. Sean Kelly scuppered his chances of being elected president when he originally stated that he wasn't interested, being an opportunist, and jumping in now shows that he's got no commitment to the job. Voters will see through this. He might as well withdraw now before we, the electorate, tell him. Well, you know, Heather Humphreys looks like it's going to be her. But she said in the packs in the past in the run up to this, while it's very flattering and a great honour, I'll be not running for the presidency. She said, I've given it a lot of consideration and a lot of thought, and while it's very flattering and a great honour to be considered for the highest office in the land, I've decided I'll not be running for the presidency. Stepped away from politics previously. I said at the time I wanted to spend more time with the family and that my life in public life was over. That doesn't mean I'm not committed to public service, but I made that decision then and it is the same. So again, when her name was being touted for this position before, she wanted to spend more time with her family and nothing had changed. But now it has. She also said, if I was younger, I wouldn't be leaving politics. I want to do other things in life between the bank, credit union and politics. I've worked full time for 47 years. She also says, I just feel that it's a job for somebody else this time. So those are some of the quotes from Heather Humphreys. Now she's looking to run the race. Let's see what Sean Kelly said in the past. Some days I'm for it and some days against it. The 7-year term is a deterrent. It's a long time. It's crazy, really. He also said, you're head of a state, but when I looked at it deeply, it's largely a ceremonial role. And then he also said, I asked myself one question. I said, am I happy with what I'm doing at the moment? And I said, I am. Another, I've responsible jobs in Europe and I enjoy my work now and I want to continue that. He also said, I looked at the pros and cons. I was thinking seriously about it. Some days I would say yes and then other days I would say no, and so on and so forth. He said, I felt I could make a bigger contribution to Europe and Munster by withdrawing from the race. And another time he said, I wish to continue to serve Ireland South as an MEP and therefore have chosen not to contest the election at this time. So those are the two favourites for Fine Gael at the moment. Both have really given good reasons as to why they don't want to run in the race. And even Sean Kelly poo-pooed the role altogether. Too long and ineffective. But now both of them are vying to run for the presidency. But you have to be careful what you say in public. You never know when your comments are going to come back and you contradict your current stance. We're all entitled to change our mind, but There you go.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Yes, indeed. It is 21 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 19th of August, and it's time for Community Garda information. In studio with me is Garda Grainne Doherty. Grainne, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for calling up. Right, let's get straight into it. Theft at Lurgy Brack.
Yes, Gardaí are appealing for information in relation to a recent theft. This occurred at the ESB substation just there, located at the top of Lurgy Brack. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it. A number of similar type incidents have occurred at this location of late, and there was one recently also, I believe, at the ESB substation in Donegal Town. So this most recent incident occurred between 6pm on Monday the 11th of August and 8am on Tuesday the 12th of August. The site was entered. 10 foot of copper cable was stolen from within the site. No damage was caused to any property. So we're appealing to anybody who might have observed any suspicious activity or vehicles in and around that location between those hours to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And as with all our appeals today, the Garda confidential line can also be contacted on 1800 666 111. And just in light of all these recent incidents at the ESB substations, we'd like to ask the public to please just be aware of it, keep it in your mind, and if you are passing any of those locations during the day or late at night and you see any type of activity that seems a bit untoward, just please notify Gardaí and make us aware of it immediately.
Yeah, because there's a regularity to them now, and it might seem like it's a reappeal, so it's important to re-emphasise this latest incident at Lurgy Brack on the 11th or 12th of this month. So someone knows something, but the regularity with those is concerning. Let's go to Ballachdurg next.
Yes, this is a recent theft incident that we're appealing for the assistance of the public in connection with. It happened in the area of Ballachdurg, Letterkenny, on Sunday the 17th of August between 3:30pm and 6pm. So a homeowner at that in that area left a green Parkside toolbox containing various tools outside the front door of their house, and it was stolen between those times. So particularly residents in that area were appealing to them if they observed any suspicious activity or vehicles or movement within that area on those dates, to get in touch with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And as always, if you ever observe any type of suspicious activity in your area or people or vehicles, notify us, you know, just let us know so that we can call out and check it out.
Are we as active as we have been in the past in terms of, you know, community awareness and the sharing of information? I just seem to recall that, I can't actually remember the phraseology, but what's it, community watch system or whatever it might be?
The text alert system. Yeah, also it, still in operation.
It is still, so it is still happening.
It is still, the text alert system's in operation still, yeah. And also I'm aware that a lot of areas, a lot of estates particularly, well, within Letterkenny, I can only speak for Letterkenny, that they would have maybe WhatsApp groups set up within their area, and they notify each other, you know, if somebody has called their door that they were a bit wary of.
And I think really what I was getting to there, I hope we haven't lost the art of keeping an eye out for each other, but obviously we haven't, which is good. A couple of appeals now in relation to road traffic collisions. We might speak of Killy Gordon first, Grainne.
Yes, if I can get the pages unstuck.
That is no problem. You go ahead.
No, yes, this road traffic collision involved two cars. It occurred on Sunday the 17th of August, shortly after 9:35pm on the railway road, Killy Gordon. The collision occurred at the bridge, so locals there will be aware of that location. Bridge between Killy Gordon and the crossroads. One of the cars involved was abandoned nearby following the collision, and three males took off on foot in the direction of the crossroads village. No injuries were reported, but damage was caused to both cars. So we're anxious to identify these three males. We're appealing to anybody who might have observed them in that area on foot or who observed the collision itself to get in touch with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 85 30. And if anybody travelled within that area, the Killy Gordon crossroads area, with a dash cam between 9:30pm and 10pm, that would be invaluable to us, and we're asking them to please make that footage available. And
clearly someone landed home without a car as well too, which might be a strong indication as well. Creasla next.
Yes, a road traffic collision. It's believed to have occurred between approximately 1am and 7am on Monday the 18th of August in Creasla at St Mary's National School. So a vehicle of some description collided with the barriers outside of the school, and substantial damage was caused to the barriers as a result. We're appealing to anybody who might have any relevant information in relation to this incident to contact Gardaí in Milford on 91 53060. And again, if anybody travelled on that route, you know, with a dash cam between those hours, drop that footage in and we can go through it ourselves then.
Okay. And of course, the vehicles, whatever type of vehicle it was, is going to have incurred significant damage too, one would imagine. Right. Well, staying with the roads, and I suppose, you know, the start of school's just around the corner. And sorry for any young people listening, but it is just a reality now. So just some sort of broad advice in that context, Grania.
Yeah, just when I was typing up this last incident in relation to the school, I just put it back and it reminded me really that many children will return to school this week and next week. Just we're asking drivers, please be aware of that fact. You know, be mindful of that fact when you're travelling. Ensure that you slow down in the area of bus collection and drop-off points and also within the area of the schools themselves. Always expect the unexpected and be prepared to stop suddenly. Leave extra time for essential journeys. There will be extra school-related traffic on the roads now in the coming weeks. Don't park in an illegal manner while doing the school run, and do not block driveways or park on footpaths because you might be restricting emergency access or forcing others, you know, with wheelchairs or people with buggies out onto the road, which would prove very dangerous. So just remaining on that topic of road safety, we're always issuing pleas to the public to make responsible decisions when driving. And a number of speeding motorists were detected over the last week within Donegal, and two of those drivers were arrested because of the speed that they were detected travelling at. So one of these drivers was arrested by Milford Gardaí. They were detected driving at 165 kilometres in 100 kilometre zone. Wow. And the other driver was arrested by Letterkenny Roads Policing Unit, and they had been detected travelling at 173 kilometres in a speed zone of 100 kilometres per hour. And over the past week, across Donegal, 8 drivers were arrested on suspicion of drink driving related offences, and 2 drivers were arrested on suspicion of drug driving. So, also, the nights are starting to fall a bit earlier. Unfortunately, you'd notice that the past few nights, half 9 now, is starting to get a bit darker, and nobody wants to see that coming, but it's going to come, whether we like it or not. So we're asking all pedestrians and cyclists to ensure that they're visible to motorists on the road. Cyclists, please ensure your lights are in working order, and they and pedestrians should wear a high-vis vest when out and about in the early mornings as well as the late evenings. And the darkness can fall. If you take off from the house from your walk, I think we discussed this before, you know, it might be bright when you're leaving, but on the way back, darkness can fall very quickly and you can be caught out. We have a number of high-vis vests at the minute in Letterkenny station, so if anybody would like to call in to collect
one. So just don't plan when you leave and plan what it's like on the way back as well. And also too, unfortunately, it does annoy me a little bit, but a number of the speed limits, you know, during certain hours for schools, they weren't switched off for the summer. Mm-hmm. So people have become, I believe, because I've been driving behind the motorists, a bit apathetic to it.
Yeah.
So I just wish, and this is nothing to do with Grania or Angada Síochána, I just wish whoever was responsible for those temporary speed reductions switch them off when the schools aren't on, because people are flying past schools now, not too far from where I'm sitting right here at the moment. But those will become very important again when there are actually students in there in school traffic. So just keep an eye out for those, I think, would not be a bad bit of advice. Right, the Arnhem Emergency Services Open Day. What's this about?
Yes, this is taking place on Sunday the 24th between 1 and 4 p.m. in Bundoran at the Lifeboat Boat Station. There's going to be displays by the RNLA, the Ambulance Service and Garda Síochána and Bundoran Fire Service and more. We're looking forward this year to taking part. We're going to be there on the day with an information stand and taking part in the festivities. So it's going to be a lovely day out for all age groups. We hope the sun continues to shine now again this weekend for any events taking place this weekend.
Yeah, the weather's looking decent, so that's not looking too bad.
Yeah, so we're encouraging people to get out. There's going to be something there. It's going to interest people of all ages.
It's a great family event.
Yeah,
the kids love all the sirens and the noise and what have you. Most children do, obviously. Right, now, you know, often we do the stolen equipment appeals, and you know, it's not just local Gardaí, but you'll see on Garda Facebook pages across the country trying to get stuff returned to its rightful owner. And you know, you can get a 2,000 euro bike and you can say it's gold, but you have to be able to prove it's yours, right? And that's why these property marking events are so important, Grania.
Yeah, and we get queries often actually as to when the next event's going to be, so hopefully we'll get a good turnout now. This next event, property marking event, will take place on Wednesday the 20th of August, that's tomorrow, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. So property marking, as you said, it might prevent property from being stolen. If property is stolen and later recovered, then it does help us. It's a great help to us to help identify the rightful owner. So everybody's very welcome to come along tomorrow. Please do ensure that you have your correct air code with you, because we do, that does happen sometimes, that somebody will show up with their trailer or their laptop or whatever and they're not aware of their air code and they leave again. So please do bring your correct air code with you.
Radio, interesting wee event taking place on Aranmore Island.
Yeah, this one's lovely. This is a drop-in clinic, and there's regular drop-in clinics taking place across the county regularly, but this is one with a difference tomorrow. This one will have some of our own very special VIP helpers there tomorrow in Aranmore Island. There's a drop-in clinic taking place between 1:30 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. So the 20th of August. Garda Siobhan Campbell will arrive on the 1 p.m. ferry with three of our honorary Garda members, honorary Garda Cain, Eva and Rory. They're then going to carry out a patrol from the ferry to the dock cafe where the drop-in clinic will be held.
Good to see a boost in Garda numbers on the island.
They'll not know what at tomorrow. The yellow jackets everywhere. Huh? But no, we're asking people, it will be a regular drop-in clinic. Yeah. If anybody wants advice or information or to get their forms but stamped and signed, they can do that.
Particularly, not just Siobhan, but particularly the honorary Garda, Cian, Eva and Rory. I'm sure they'll get a lovely reception as well.
I've no doubt that they will. So they will. They'll be delighted to see as many as possible drop in. And we're asking people to do that. If they have a free 10 minutes or half an hour, please do call in and say hello to them, because they'll be so excited tomorrow, you know, to be on the island and be on patrol.
And the ferry trip over and disembarking, it's going to be brilliant for them. And also too, but as Granny has already pointed out, maybe you need a form signed, some information on security or some advice on some matter, or you just want to run a couple of things past the Gardaí, they'll be there alongside the other Gardaí, that being the Little Blue, the Little Blue Hero. So call in and say hello and give them a big Aranmore welcome. August 20th, that is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, listen, thank you very much, Grania.
Thank you.
We do appreciate your time as always. And we'll see you very soon.
Yep.
Okay, that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 19th of August. It will be available for you to listen and watch back on various platforms a little later on.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025. Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
The Nine Till Noon Show with the Northwest Truck Fest, taking place this Saturday and Sunday on Neil T. Blinney Road, Letterkenny. Enjoy live music both days, family fun, the spectacular truck convoy and so much more.
If you're age 59 to 70, we will invite you for a free HSE bowel screening home test. Screening can help find signs of bowel cancer early, before any symptoms show, making it easier to treat.
Are you worried about trees on your property? Northwest Forestry Services Ballybuffet are fully insured and have over 40 years' experience in dangerous tree removal, tree felling, surgery and stump grinding. For peace of mind, call Northwest Forest Services Ballybuffet for a no-obligation quotation on 913-2033.
I'm at Dublin Airport Terminal 1 doing a survey. Oh, here's someone. Excuse me, do you mind if I ask you a question? How far did you have to park from the airport?
Oh, that far.
Did you know that if you'd taken an expressway coach, it would have been super comfy and so easy to book, and it would have dropped you right here at the door?
Oh, you didn't. Oh, well, next time.
Bye. If you're going to Dublin Airport, book online at expressway.ie and get right to the door. Don't go the car way, go expressway. Way better.
Nutria's Weanling Crunch is on promotion at your local Homeland. Buy 10 bags of Nutria's Weanling Crunch ATP and get one free. Or €15 off per tonne in bulk. The Nutria's Beef ATP pack enhances animal performance through maximising rumen efficiency. T's and C's apply. For product details, contact your local Homeland or farm commercial specialist. Or see nutrias.ie.
Is your couch older than your Spotify playlist? Is your dining table wobblier than your uncle at a wedding? If so, it's time for an upgrade. At Grove Furnishings, Kiltoy Road, Letterkenny, the largest furniture store in the Northwest. From stylish sofas to elegant beds, from floor covering to occasional pieces, we've got you covered. And we offer free delivery within 80 kilometres. Grove Furnishings, seriously good furniture.
The Northwest Truck Fest rolls back into Letterkenny this Saturday and Sunday on Neil T. Blaney Road. Enjoy live music and a truckload of family fun. This ad is sponsored by JD Recovery Services, Kilmacrenan and Donegal Town, 913-9303.
Don't delay when you get your bowel screening invitation. Call us today on 1800 45 45 55 or visit bowelscreen.ie from the HSE.
Right, so you heard earlier on the education officer, the students' union at UCD, is calling for more accommodation in Dublin. We did this, as I mentioned earlier as well, we did this last week or the week before, actually, it was. In the other direction, you know, students from around the country or indeed within the region looking for accommodation in Letterkenny. And we had a decent response to that, but they always need more accommodation. Matt Meehan is education officer, who mentioned, with the Students' Union UCD. Matt, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you've launched a campaign that is asking Dubliners to rent them a room. And you used a Donegal example as to, you know, the reality for some students. It's crazy what's going on, isn't it?
It really is. Like, to be honest, that was just one of the horror stories I've heard. The truth is that Dublin universities are a lot of the time the only option for many students around the country. And the example that I talked about earlier was a veterinary student from Donegal. Veterinary is the only option to do on the island of Ireland is in UCD. So if you want to do it and you're from Donegal, you're from Letterkenny, you better have them either the money to pay for your Dublin accommodation or be willing to do your 4-hour commute every day.
And unfortunately for some, the option is the 4-hour commute. But actually, and this is a wider conversation, and hopefully we're going to have a veterinary school up here shortly, but people are going to Eastern Europe because it's more convenient and cheaper to do it there than that commute. But more generally speaking, Matt, you're encouraging those down in Dublin to avail of the schemes that are there where they can make a few bob tax-free and perhaps, you know, use a room that they might have lying vacant in the house.
Yeah, it's a win-win kind of for everybody in the situation. Students get the homes they need and are able to actually get educated. And on the other end is that you are able to make your tax your 14,000 tax-free if you're renting two rooms. If you have the space, why not use it?
For sure. Well, what is the average rent, would you say? I'm not holding this to you, Matt, but anecdotally, that students studying in Dublin from outside the county, of course, are paying. Because we know, you know, what the rental is for a family or what have you, or maybe students are trying to match that themselves.
So the fact is that, especially within the Dublin market, that student, because there isn't enough purpose-built student accommodation, is that they're competing with the regular market. Mm. Because everybody is screaming for accommodation. So the minimum, like I know students paying like €1,200, that's average, that's on the high end of the average scale. Like, you're looking at €800 to €1,200.
And that might be most likely for a room, and they're in that room with a communal kitchen, I would imagine.
Yeah, so that would be sharing a kitchen, even sharing a bathroom, that would be a box room. I've heard of people paying €600 for a couch.
Wow. Yeah. It's something we need to get a handle on. And the big rush is on now, and you are being inundated, of course, with the stories. And every story is subjective, but every story a really serious one, not least the local person travelling 4 hours down to attend veterinary school. Listen, Matt, thanks for that. Just interesting to get the insight. We're not going to have many Dublin listeners to dig you out, but we appreciate your time. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Matt Meehan there, education officer with the Students' Union UCD, just confirming one Donegal person, and it's just, you know, one that we're talking of right now, having to travel all that way to go to school every day just to try and, you know, do the career that they love. Fianna Fáil spokesperson on education. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me on Highland Radio this morning.
No, it's great to have you on. You're calling for mandatory Gaeltacht courses to be introduced for all Leaving Cert students. So what does that look like? What is it?
Well, I guess I had an opportunity to question the Minister for Education in the Dáil recently, And I suppose my main purpose behind me doing that was trying to start a conversation about how people genuinely think about Irish in this country, how we approach the teaching and learning of it, and what the entire purpose around actually studying Irish is in this country or learning it. And for me, there should be a greater sense of pride and love and grow in our national language, but also I think much more of a focus on what the practical use of the language is, particularly after the Leaving Certificate. And for me, I believe at the moment there's far too much of a focus on the Leaving Certificate, getting through the exam, getting the points, and then seeing it as a job done and move on. That I think for a lot of people that are unfortunate enough maybe not to live in a Gaeltacht, like the region that I represent, they don't often see the Irish language as a living language, something that is alive, that is in regions. It's seen as something that is in books that you learn off for rote learning, that you learn off by heart for an oral exam. But for me, I think it needs to be a lot more than that. And I made the point with the minister in the Dáil, and to be fair, she did agree with it, and that being that there is no better way to learn a language than being immersed in it. And I think we need to get more and more, particularly young people, to the Gaeltacht to get that grow for the language into them. So they see it as something that's living, alive, and something to be proud of, rather than just something we have to do to get through an exam.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, the majority of people listening here would love to see more people understanding the significance of the language and building the love for it. The problem is, though, when you make things mandatory, you know, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. How would that be advantageous? Because, you know, one of the biggest issues at the moment is people voluntarily opting out of learning Irish, you know, and I think the number is far greater than those that might need to. They're just making a choice not to. So how do you go from a situation where students are choosing to actually not learn Irish in school to sort of almost compelling them to go on a Gaeltacht course as part of their education?
Yeah, I guess part of my proposal was being somewhat bold or imaginative, but also ambitious. But I think that's first of all what we need in the Dáil, and something I think I should be doing as a younger parliamentarian. But I think big part of it was getting this conversation happening. And over the last 3-4 weeks, I have been absolutely delighted with the way the conversation has gone on this, because it has got so many people from right across the country contacting me with their ideas around teaching and learning of Gaeilge and the actual use of it after school. But yes, there are a number of people exempt, and that number has grown over the years. We've seen those statistics. But again, the problem around the way that we think about Irish, and perhaps that we teach it, and it's no fault of any teacher, I don't think this, but rather a policy issue, that being that it is just seen as something that we're supposed to be taught while we're in school, and getting people to go to the Gaeltacht, getting them to have a feel for the language, like I said already, a grow for the language, but see it being alive, I think is really, really, really important. So I do think, as part of studying any language, I think you should have to do an immersive period. We do, and it is something I raised in the Dáil as well. We do see, obviously, student teachers having to go to the Gaeltacht as part of their course at third level. And one of the issues I raised with the minister was the fact that primary level student teachers get a grant for their course. Secondary level student teachers studying Gaeilge to be Gaeilge teachers do not get that grant. That's another imbalance in the education system, I think. And obviously we need people to be immersed in a language to learn it, similar to anyone that at second level might learn French or Spanish or German. Okay, they don't have a mandatory period abroad, but you often see, because of the way it's taught and because of the way people think about those European languages, they're more comfortable with going, visiting European countries and trying their bit of the language, possibly after secondary school or even while they're still studying it. You don't see that same reality or that same view of Irish among a lot of Irish students.
Well, that's it. And I, to be honest with you, I think really you kind of identified where I'd see the issue, because they have a love of French or German and they want to go to where French and German people are. But the damage has been done here, I think, by the time they get to the Leaving Cert, because either they've opted out or they see it as a language that's not important and they can't do anything with. So surely, whilst it's good to be talking about it, and that's part of the reason you brought it up, you have also made a proposal, right? So that's not insignificant. We need to be building, fostering the language and the love of the language from, you know, NINRA right up until secondary school. Do you know what I mean? Because it's there. It's a great teaching environment. A lot of kids starting off, 2, 3, 4, being taught in Irish or being, you know, brought on through Irish or bilingually. You know, we need people to want to do something. I think when you compel something, Ryan, with all due respect, it actually almost puts young people off. We should have had that love built up so that they're screaming to get to the Gaeltacht.
Yeah, and I do think that that is the approach to the language that we need in general, but also part of what this conversation has been about, but what my entire purpose behind this policy proposal was that by the time you leave secondary school, you've had that immersive experience that for the majority of people that don't go to the Gaeltacht today, I think in a lot of cases don't see it as being a living language. There are a lot of people that I've spoken to, and actually have spoken out in media since this proposal, that think it is a good idea because they didn't come from a Gaeltacht area, but went to the Gaeltacht at some stage and got a different view of the language as a result of that.
But rather than being a learning process, if you reference yourself, learning answers for the oral, learning a bit of text that you can just disregard and forget, like algebra in many cases. I'm not saying that's insignificant either. Teach it in a different way. Promote the use of the language rather than focusing on, you know, punctuation or spelling or you know, North and South Irish or whatever way you want to phrase it. You know, like, just get people using the language, focus all our intention on that and not make it such a significant part of the Leaving Cert if you choose to do it. You know, just use the education systems as an opportunity to promote the language, not even sort of almost test people on it, if that makes sense. I'm not saying remove tests, but we know students don't want to engage with it in the numbers we want as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But and another part of it is the suggestion that has come out of the National Council for Curriculum Assessment that the oral exam could be reduced to 35% instead of a 40% rating. That is something I also don't agree with, because I think what we need to massively focus on is people's ability to be able to speak the language once they've left school and not have the answers learned off, go through the oral and then say, OK, that's a job done. I can forget about all of that. It's so much more than that. But I still fundamentally believe that an immersive experience is the most important way anyone can get a love for a language and understanding of it, but also an ability to become fluent in it. So I am delighted with the response I've got to this proposal so far, but acknowledge the fact there's a huge amount of work to do in it. And that's why I'm bringing it forward at this stage to try and ask the department to look into the proposal and see what they can come back with and see what response I'm getting from the public, which to date I've been happy to say is quite positive.
All right, good stuff. Before I let you go, Ryan, obviously a lot of conversation and speculation about who's going to run for which party as president. I think Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin are doing it right. I don't think they're dithering. I think you're far better off waiting later into the campaign and then launching your candidate. Just curious if you have a preference. Would you like to see your party run their own candidate? If so, who? Or would you like to see them go behind the likes of a Heather Humphreys or another?
I guess the conversation is still ongoing within our party, and it is a very important conversation to have. We're obviously electing the head of state here. My preference would be for a Fianna Fáil candidate, and I think our party is working through that process at the moment, and I look forward to the outcome as well.
Is there anyone that you would think, right, okay, that person I could get behind? I'm not looking for Fianna Fáil policy, just your own opinion.
No, I think that the process is still going on within the party, so I don't think I'm at the stage yet that I'm willing to start naming names. I think it's important that people are interested, they come forward.
But you don't have a personal preference at all.
My personal preference is that Fianna Fáil run a candidate and we back that candidate and we win the election.
All right, okay. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Take care. Deputy Ryan O'Meara, spokesperson, a Fianna Fáil spokesperson on education as well, keeping in terms of presidential candidates, keeping cards close to the chest. I think politicians need to just speak a bit more like, this is no disrespect to Ryan, but just have a chat. Let's have a chin wag. Let's speculate. Who could it be? Who would you like? But I do understand he's keeping his cards close to his chest. And if he did mention a name, it could be picked up, I suppose, and then put as a headline somewhere. But I think politics generally, just speak frankly and let's have a chin wag, as I say. If Irish isn't made compulsory in Ireland, says a listener, how will the language be kept alive? I think it'd be kept alive by embracing it, not treating it as a subject that your Leaving Cert can live and die on. That, you know, you use the language, it's taught in school, and it's cool, and we use influencers, and we stop making it a choice whereby I'm going to do a second language, what should it be? Let's not use Irish as a second language, I don't think. Let's teach it in association with the learning system. If people want to do it very seriously and then go on and study, I know people that studied third level in Irish, that's fine, no problem. If you want to be elite and go that way, but I think we need to just use the teaching opportunity the same way we need to use school to teach people responsibility on the roads. I think that's very important. But let's sort of maybe move the language into that space whereby, you know, it's fun to use at school rather than it being maybe a deal breaker in what you want to do with your career. I'm trying to articulate something and I'm not sure I'm doing it very well. A caller points out that the Gaeltacht is about so much more than just the language. Of course it is. It's a great experience for young people to develop emotionally and experience being away from home. But like transition year, for an example, it's not for everyone. And as soon as you make something compulsory, then it gets a bit controversial. A caller says, Simon Harris and Micheál Martin would do more good staying at home and sorting things out. Mental health services not able to cope. True lack of staff. Two's to the same. And lots more needs fixing. The two of them are only minions on the world stage. The big powers don't need them. But you see, you're playing down our potential role on that world stage. Yes, of course, domestically, there needs to be issues but resolved. But we could have, and we should have, in my view, positioned ourselves, you know, properly, even politically neutral, and use our position to thrust our way onto the world stage as peacemakers, maybe. Greg, I know you don't normally do requests, but I do actually. I do requests after 10 every single day. Greg, I know you don't normally do requests on your show, but I would be grateful if you could play Lanigan's Ball for Two Confused Politicians. That I can't do, but I see where you're going forward with it. Heather Humphreys and Sean Kelly are at a crossroads in life and don't seem to know which way to turn. It could happen to any of us. Okay, thank you. I think it would be a good idea to make it compulsory for children to wear high-vis jackets when entering and leaving the school. It'll get them used to wearing them. Again, you know, another, by coincidence, another way of encouraging behaviour or using school to do so. Not trying to be funny, but I don't recall much coverage of domestic abuse on Highland. The odd advocate from our underfunded services highlighting the fact aside, we've spoken, I don't want to get defensive on such a serious issue, but we actually have production meetings here where we decide, can we discuss that again, because we discuss it with such frequency, and that is me being completely honest with you. Last week alone, we had half an hour with Lifeline in Inishowen, Letterkenny Domestic Abuse Services. We speak to them regularly. We speak to An Garda Síochána. We speak to victims of domestic abuse. And we use every opportunity to highlight it. Obviously, it's not something you can talk about every day. But I'll tell you, there's not another radio show in the country, I don't believe, and I can't verify it, of course, that would spend as much time talking about domestic abuse and the impact it has on people and children. In relation to the domestic violence figures this morning, just to remind the public that the contact number for Inishowen, Lifeline Inishowen, is 074 937 3232. They're your first port of call. Reach out to them. They know how to deal with these situations and can get you out from the situation that you might find yourself in.